You're not gonna kill me. You need me. You need to transfer your soul into my body.
Wrong again, wimp. I got some fresh meat lined up, and I'm not gonna let you spoil it. Not this time.
Tyler.
Yeah. Just think. Chucky's gonna be a bro.
Welcome to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, the podcast that would never relegate Minari to just the foreign language category. I'm your host, Taylor Cole, and I am here with Andrew Rowdy Robert Jewell.
I'm just here to chew bubblegum and answer trivia, and I'm all out of answers.
Conrado River Beast Falco.
Not even the great game hunter Ida Hutkins can stop this winning beast.
And Allison, Word Doctor Rutledge.
I'll close the book on the competition.
A hearty hello and thank you to all of our players for playing with us today. It is our Season 3 premiere with a whole new crop of listener contestants ready to battle it out for the title. We're going to start off with the first elimination match of our cellular division. Keeping the scores for us today will be Scoremaster Dan. Hi, Dan.
Hi there, Taylor. Third season is very exciting, so this is our 31st regular episode, meaning we now have more episodes than the entire four-season run of British Coupling, and by the end of the season, we'll surpass the 44-episode run of everyone's favorite superhero, Nightman.
We're coming for you, Gunsmoke. We're coming for you. And making everything happen behind the scenes, he's the reason this podcast sounds as good as it does. Let's say hello to Production Master Dave. Hi, Dave.
I'm an 80s guy. Friendship to me means that for $2, I beat you with a pool cue till you got detached retinas.
Well, let's keep that 80s vibe alive throughout today's show. But first, we got to get into it with our first game, My Champion. That's a game where each of our contestants has selected for themselves a champion from the world of pop culture. But we get to choose the challenge that they undergo. Andrew, who is your champion today?
Agent Phil Coulson.
Conrado, who have you got?
The one and only Shrek.
And Allison, who is your champion?
My champion is Rebecca Bunch.
All right, champions are on the board. I will serve as the judge today, so let's spin the scenario wheel. The spinny, spinny, spin, clackety, clack, clack, clack. Today's scenario, who is going to be the best at putting together a large piece of furniture from IKEA? Andrew, why is Phil Coulson going to be great at putting together some IKEA furniture?
Well, he is great at assembling things like teams of special agents. He's cool under pressure. He's been attacked by mutants and superheroes and supervillains, and he keeps his cool head and he still prevails. So he's not going to throw an Allen wrench at you just because you turned something the wrong way, Dad. And, what's the worst that's going to happen? He dies? He's got like four more lives.
Thank you, Andrew. And Conrado, how about Shrek?
Well, Shrek is great at solving problems. When they wanted to move all the fairy tale characters to the swamp, he was able to find a way around that, beat a dragon, fall in love in the process. And the swamp has a bunch of pretty nice furniture already. So I think he's pretty handcrafty. He built all of that himself. So I think he's got it in him.
Thank you, Conrado. And Allison, how about Crazy Ex-Girlfriend's Rebecca Bunch?
Yes, Rebecca Bunch is good at a few things. She is highly educated and a lawyer, and I have to imagine she would be very good at deciphering those complex instructions. She also has very single-minded focus when she wants to, and especially if she was putting together this furniture for Josh Chan, I believe that she would make it happen, let's say.
Excellent. Arguments all around. Always enjoy Shrek's problem-solving skills. And while definitely the pun on assembling things works for Andrew, I think I've seen enough Crazy Ex-Girlfriend to know that Josh Chan's apartment is full of stuff from IKEA, because that's probably all he can afford with his electronics store job. Given that single-minded focus, our winner today is going to be Rebecca Bunch and Allison. Congratulations, Allison. You have won My Champion, which means you go first in round one and get a crack at the half point. This question is worth exactly half a point, could give you a competitive advantage later in the game. Here is your half point question. What 2009 comedy features two consecutive scenes of the two main characters at an IKEA, but which are set exactly 248 days apart?
Okay, so I know this movie. I've seen it before. It has Zooey Deschanel in it, and I am trying to get to the name of this movie, 500 Days of Summer.
There it is, 500 Days of Summer. That is the half point for Allison. Means you're also going to go first in round one, 1980s meets 1880s. Our composer in residence, Johannes Bassoon, is really on one this week. Well, one of his favorite styles is saloon-type piano music from the 1880s. He's decided to transplant that style to the music of the 1980s, specifically the Best Original Song Oscar nominees of that decade. In this game, you'll hear a clip of Johannes Bassoon playing an old-timey Wild West saloon version of a Best Song Oscar nominee from the 80s, and you identify the song. So, for instance, if he played you this... you would recognize that song as being...
Eye of the Tiger.
Eye of the Tiger from Rocky III. If you need a hint, I can play you a short clip from a different section of the song's original recording. 10 points for answering after the first clip, 5 points after the second, but you only get one guess. Allison, this first clip is for you.
So I know this song, but I don't know what it is. So I would like a hint, please. Well, that didn't help me at all. In fact, I feel like it changed my mind. I have no idea, pass.
Andrew knows this one.
I think it's Fame.
Fame is correct. All right, Conrado, here is your first clip.
I believe that is Flashdance, What a Feeling.
Absolutely, for 10 points. All right, Andrew, here's for you.
Yeah, I feel like I should take the morning train because that's 9 to 5.
Correct. Back to Allison for your next clip.
I believe that's Love Lifts Us Up Where We Belong.
Is that okay?
Yeah, we'll take it.
Okay. Yay!
Up Where We Belong is that title from An Officer and a Gentleman. Over to Conrado.
I'm not 100% sure about the name of the song, but I think it's called Arthur's Theme.
Yes, with Best That You Can Do in parentheses, but Arthur's Theme is that title from the 1981 film Arthur.
There we go.
Over to Andrew.
Oh yeah, that's not ringing any bells. Can I hear the hint?
Looking at the skies, I seem to see a million eyes. Which ones are yours?
So I'm thinking it's a Disney movie, but from the 80s? It's Broadway-ish or Disney. Oh, I am at an absolute loss. I'm going to let somebody else answer this one if they know it.
Nope, that comes from a movie I wish was a Disney movie. That is from Yentl. That is Papa, Can You Hear Me?
All
with
right.
Barbara Streisand singing in that clip.
Oh, I have a grandmother in heaven that's very angry with me.
All right, coming back to Allison for her next clip.
Gosh, this is happening again where I know the melody. I'm so bad with lyrics. I need a hint, please. I know I've heard this song. I don't know what it is. Sorry.
Conrado knows this one.
Is that Let's Hear It for the Boy?
Oh my gosh.
From Denise Williams in Footloose, that is Let's Hear It for the Boy. All right, Conrado, this next one is for you.
What a great song, even in piano version. That's Ghostbusters.
For 10 points, Ghostbusters. Kicking it over to Andrew, here's your next clip.
I am semi-confident that I know it, but I would like to hear that again, please. I believe that's Hip to Be Square.
Conrado?
That's The Power of Love.
In the Huey Lewis zone, but not the right title.
They sound so much alike on piano.
And that'll take us into our first score break from Scoremaster Dan.
Most of the way through round one, Andrew has 10 points. Allison is just barely ahead with 10 points and the half point. And Conrado so far is perfect in this round. He's got 30 points and the lead.
We'll see if Conrado can hold on to that streak. But for now, here's the next clip for Allison.
Take My Breath Away. Okay, yeah.
From Top Gun Berlin, that is Take My Breath Away. Next up for Conrado.
I'm pretty lost, so I'm gonna take the hint. It's asking for the taking, trembling, shaking. I am not sure, but I know that the song Let the River Run won an Oscar. Is that it?
What a guess. Let the River Run. Wow. Carly Simon from Working Girl. All right, over for Andrew.
I'm tempted to say Hip to Be Square just for the funny points, but Somewhere Out There?
From An American Tale, that is Somewhere Out There.
Nice.
One more 1880s-ified 80s movie song for each player. This next one is for Allison.
Perfect. Okay, I had to sing along in my head to make sure I got to the title, and I'm pretty sure it's Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now.
By Starship from the movie Mannequin, correct. All right, Conrado, here's your last one.
This is my karaoke go-to song, Under the Sea.
Amazing, yes. All right, Andrew, here's your final 80s-ified clip.
I brought a watermelon. Please, God, let the name of the song actually be The Time of My Life.
No, it is I've Had the Time of My Life, looking for that full title. Very, ouch. Very close.
I would have second-guessed myself too, Andrea.
Same here.
And just to be clear on what the ruling was there, the previous answer that was kind of incorrect included the correct answer in it, and that one didn't have all the words of the correct answer, so we couldn't accept it.
Next up, a score update from Dan, and then on to the second round.
After one round of play, it's time for the Annenberg Foundation score break. That's right, this score break is brought to you by the Annenberg Foundation. Okay, not really. But could you imagine if they decide to support the nonsense we get up to here every week? At this point, Conrado is in the lead. He's got 45 points. Allison is in second place with 30 points and the half point. And Andrew is in third place with just 20, but he'll get to go first in round two.
Thank you very much, Dan. But that means Andrew's got a little chance to make up some ground. It's the Threequalizer. Andrew, you're about to get a question that has three possible answers with three guesses to match as many of them as you can. 10 points to you for every answer you get. Your Threequalizer question is, name the three actresses who performed the Leslie Gore song You Don't Own Me in a 1996 comedy film.
Okay, so this is the First Wives Club, and the First Wives were three actresses who were all First Wives. One of them was Daryl Hannah. One of them was Lily Tomlin. I cannot believe I haven't seen this movie since it probably was in the video store. And one of them was Bette Midler.
There you go. Still 10 points for Bette Midler. The other two you were looking for are Diane Keaton and Goldie Hawn.
Yes, they were.
But that's going to bring us into getting to know our players a little bit better. You know, Andrew, we had a bunch of musical fun in round one working in the 80s. So what is your biggest sort of 80s jam that you would use as like an anthem for yourself if you are up to bat in the MLB?
I've enjoyed Genius of Love by the Tom Tom Club. Anytime it comes on the playlist, if I'm sitting down, I butt dance. If I'm doing any actual exercise, I do it a little bit harder.
Amazing. Always a good jam to have on. Conrado, we've had a bit of a delayed award season this year because, you know, pandemic and all that nonsense. But this is your time, especially with the timeline of award season. What is your biggest award season pet peeve?
So my biggest pet peeve is that at some point IMDb decided to categorize all the Oscars by the time in which they took place instead of the time of the movies being honored. And as a trivia kind of braggy person, I hate when people ask me what won Best Picture in 1973 and I say The Exorcist and they mean The Godfather.
The Sting, actually.
The Sting. Oh, my God. And now I lost all my cred.
Sorry to well actually you, but it is The Sting. Exorcist won the Golden Globe for Best Drama, though, so that's something.
There we go.
So great. And Allison, you've been a regular at our show's Patreon, Game Shelf, Pentathlon Nights, and a valuable team member at all of those. So because we know you have your board game bona fides, what board game do you most want to see adapted as a movie or TV series?
Right. Well, it's my favorite board game, which is called Betrayal at House on the Hill. It's already sort of a simplified role-playing game and has a lot of story elements, so I think it would adapt really well. But the thing that would be really cool is that each time you play it, you encounter different monsters and ghosts and things. And so each episode could, or each season could be a sort of anthology style kind of deal.
And then season two, you already have your subtitle of Widow's Walk with the expansion that they had.
Absolutely.
Perfect. Listeners, if you're not at those Patreon Game Shelf nights, please remember to join us. They have been a blast. And that's going to take us into round two, which today is called Whose Title Is It Anyway? Lots of movies have possessives in the titles, but they're just so selfish sometimes. So in this game, we're helping to share the love by rewriting the titles of TV shows and movies with a different possessive. I'll give you up to three alternate titles, still in the possessive, and you have to tell me what movie or show I'm talking about. For instance, if I gave you the title Mark Darcy's Rival, you'd know that I was talking about the movie
Bridget Jones's Diary.
Bridget Jones's Diary. 30 points for answering after just one alternate title. If you want a hint, you can get up to 2 more alternate possessive titles, all following the same structure of the original, but the more hints you need, the fewer points you'll get. And to make things a little easier, I'll also tell you up top whether it's a movie or TV show and the year that it came out or first premiered. Andrew, we're going to start off with you. This 1986 movie could also be called Principal Rooney's Surveillance Attempts.
Oh, I had married the wrong idea. That is Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
For the full 30 points, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Next up from Allison, you've got a 1989 movie, which could be called Elizabeth and Joanna's New Boyfriends.
Elizabeth and Joanna are some women. From 1989. I think I'm gonna need a hint.
Could also be called Joan and Abe's Extra Credit.
Ooh, yeah, it definitely could be called that. I think I'm gonna need the next hint, please.
Socrates and Napoleon's Modern Journey. To recap, we've got Elizabeth and Joanna's New Boyfriends, Joan and Abe's Extra Credit, and Socrates and Napoleon's Modern Journey.
Okay, so I'm hearing lots of historical figures, and the only thing that I can think of is something time travel related, and so I'm gonna go with Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Okay.
Correct for 10 points.
It's pronounced Socrates.
Socrates. All right, next up for Conrado, you've got a 2001 movie that could be called Tess's Ex.
I think I'm gonna need a hint.
Rusty's Snacks.
Tess's Ex and Rusty's Snacks. Oh boy, I think I'm gonna need the... Wait, give me the next hint.
Could be called Tess's Ex, Rusty's Snacks, or Benedict's Vault.
The only thing that's coming to mind right now is Monster's Ball.
No, that answer is Ocean's 11. With Tess being Julia Roberts' character, Brad Pitt snacking throughout the movie as Rusty, and Benedict being the Andy Garcia character whose vault they are robbing. Back over to Andrew, you've got a 2019 movie that could otherwise be known as Manufacturer's Lawsuit.
Manufacturer's Lawsuit. 2019. You'd think that would be fresher in my head, with better possibilities. Nope, I don't want to lose 30 points, so let's get a hint.
Manufacturer's Lawsuit or Andy's Toy.
You said this was a movie?
A 2019 movie.
Oh!
Released in theaters.
Damn you! Alright, I mean, Chuck's gosh darn heckin' stuff. Let's say it's Child's Play.
Just think, Chucky's gonna be a bro.
Yes, the remake of Child's Play for 20 points for Andrew. Next up for Allison, a 2010 movie that could be called The Monarch's Abdication.
Okay, I have an idea, but I'm not sure if it came out in 2010. Let's go with the hint, please.
The Monarch's Abdication or The Therapist's Client.
Yeah, I believe this is The King's Speech.
For 20 points, The King's Speech. Over for Conrado, you've got a 1968 movie that could be called Guy's Neighbors.
Guy's Neighbors? 1968, you said?
Yes.
From the 60s, and the guy has some neighbors. I think I'm going to need the hint.
Guy's Neighbors or Cult's Plan.
Oh, this is Rosemary's Baby.
For 20 points, nice job.
Can you please give the third clue? Because I love it.
Sure. The third clue in that case would have been Satan's Project. Just a little side hustle he's got going on. All right, next up for Andrew, you've got a 2006 movie that could be called Zuckerman's Barn.
Zuckerman's Barn. Nope, I'm going to need that hint.
Zuckerman's Barn or Orville's Prize.
I believe there was a CGI remake of Charlotte's Web, so I'm going to go with that.
Charlotte's Web, correct. Allison, you've got a 1997 movie that could be called Christy and Billy's 80s Prom Night.
Okay. Oh, goodness. I feel like I am thinking of this movie, but I don't have a title on me. Let's do the hint.
Christy and Billy's 80s Prom Night or Heather and Toby's Old Friends Return.
I feel like this is something with a wedding. Maybe not. No, I don't know that I'm getting there. I guess I'll ask for the third hint.
Christy and Billy's 80s Prom Night, Heather and Toby's Old Friends Return, or Sandy and Heather's Knowledge of Post-its.
Oh, goodness. I am really... No, I don't know.
Andrew knows this one.
That is Romy and Michelle's high school reunion. I feel that sigh. I can
see the hair
yep.
in my mind.
This is such roulette on these questions, because sometimes you'll get somebody else's if it had just been yours.
Absolutely. Conrado's going to take us next with a 2000 movie that could be called The Witch's Failed Poison.
The Witch's Failed Poison. Oh, I think I know this one. This should be The Emperor's New Groove.
Nice 30-point answer will take us into our score break from Scoremaster Dan.
Most of the way through round two, Allison's struggling a little bit. She only has 60 points and the half point. Conrado has 95, and Andrew has pulled in the lead. He has 100 points.
After our score break, we're going to switch to the world of television. So all the answers for the rest of the round will be TV shows. Starting with Andrew, you've got a 2020 TV show that could be called Jane Levy's Singing Chops.
It's not Infinite Playlist. It's Zoe's something playlist. It's Zoe's something playlist. It's Zoe's unbelievable. I'm going to keep going through adjectives and then I'm going to get 0 points somehow. I cannot believe it. Zoe's imagination, Zoe's unbelievable playlist.
So close. That is Zoe's extraordinary playlist is the word you were looking for. Allison's got a 2009 TV show that you could call Wig Industries Stimulus Plan.
Okay. And yeah, I'm not sure if this is a joke or if there are really a lot of wigs in this show. Wig Stimulus Plan. Oh, gosh. No. That's not it. Okay, I need a hint, please.
Wig Industry Stimulus Plan or Michelle Visage's Judging.
Oh, RuPaul's Drag Race.
Correct for 20 points. Next up for Conrado, it's a 2005 TV show that you could call Bailey's Program.
Bailey's Program. I know Dr. Miranda Bailey from Grey's Anatomy, so... I think I'm just going to go for it and say Grey's Anatomy.
30 points. Nice job. Coming back to Andrew, you've got a 1998 TV show that you could call Joey's Choice.
Joey could be a man or a woman. It's one of those names. Why don't you give me a hint, please?
Joey's Choice or Capeside's Kids.
Capeside seems like it would be a really great clue if I could associate it with any specific television show. Let's get the second hint, please.
Joey's Choice, Capeside's Kids, or Pacey's Friends.
Ah, Pacey's. So, yeah, this would be the Creek, Dawson's Creek.
Dawson's Creek is correct.
Watch him slowly collapse in the second half like a flan in a cupboard.
All right, Allison, see if you can get this 2017 TV show that you could call The Aunt's Executions.
The Odds Executions from 2017. Definitely a year I was watching TV. I cannot think of any ants that were getting executed on TV shows in 2017, so I'm going to need a hint, please.
The Ants Executions or The Commander's Women?
Yeah, I guess give me that last hint, please.
The Ants Executions, The Commander's Women, or The Cult's Takeover?
A cult. Oh. This is The Handmaid's Tale.
For 10 points, The Handmaid's Tale. And Conrado will close out round two with a 2005 TV show that you could call Idiot's Sandwich.
Idiot's Sandwich. I have a guess, but I think I'm going to need the second hint.
Idiot's Sandwich or Chef's Breakdown.
Is this Kitchen's Nightmare? No, that doesn't make sense. Hell's Kitchen.
Last second reversal gets you Hell's Kitchen for 20 points to close out round two. Up next, one more score break from Scoremaster Dan and onward to the final round. Before we get into our last round of play, it's time for the home version. Scoremaster Dan's got a pop culture riddle that if you can decipher it, submit that answer at our website, usaquizshow.com, on the page for this episode, and show off that knowledge to win a score break naming right. Dan?
Singing in drag bars for minimum wage, but everything changed when he brought me on stage. New songs, new image, they both set me sky high. But Jack and the old ways, they both had to die.
Think you know what the answer to that is? Submit that answer online and show off the knowledge. All right, Dan, thanks for that riddle. Now, how about a score update?
Absolutely. Before we get into round three, it's time for the Serenity score break. That's right. The score break is brought to you by Serenity. Not the concept, not the Firefly sequel, but that other movie, the one with the video game fishing simulator. At this point, Conrado is in the lead with 145 points. Andrew has 110, and Allison is in third place with 90 points and the half point, but that means she'll get to go first in round three.
Thank you, Dan, for spoiling the ending of the 2019 film Serenity. Those scores you gave us, though, are not set in stone. Everyone's got one more chance to rack up some points on the board. It's the lightning round. Players have their choice of categories and have 90 seconds to answer as many questions in that category as they can. 10 points to you for each correct answer you can provide. Today's categories are The God Family, And I Feel Fine, Just a Touch, and Popping the Trunk. Names of those topics might be a little bit tricky or mysterious, so pick the thing that you think you're going to do best on, or keep something easy away from somebody else. Allison, in third place, you get first pick. Which of the four categories would you like? Once again, they are The God Family, And I Feel Fine, Just a Touch, and Popping the Trunk.
I think I'm going to go with Popping the Trunk.
Any guesses as to what this category might be?
People who are kidnapped in cars and put in trunks. It could be about luggage. I don't know.
You're thinking in the right direction on different meanings of the word trunk. This is going to be an elephant's trunk. So you're going to be answering questions about elephants in the world of pop culture.
All right.
90 seconds on the clock. The timer starts when I finish reading the first question. Allison, are you ready?
All right.
Elephants in this Disney movie march in a military style.
Dumbo?
The Jungle Book. Reese Witherspoon smooches Robert Pattinson in this 2011 drama.
Oh, pass.
Megan Mullally and Kevin Kline sing a duet about Topsy the Elephant on this Fox series.
Will and Grace.
Bob's Burgers. An elephant parachutes into Vietnam during this 1995 movie.
Pass.
Lots of Heart Elephant was a member of this offshoot of the Care Bears.
Pass.
This royal actress narrates a 2020 Disney Plus documentary about elephants.
Meghan Markle.
This Terry Pratchett created fantasy world is carried on the backs of four elephants.
Pass.
The movie The Elephant Man is often cited as the reason for the creation of this Oscar category.
Like prosthetic makeup?
This elephant from a series of French children's books marries his cousin Celeste.
Babar.
R.E.M. sings about pushing an elephant up the stairs on the soundtrack for this 1999 biopic.
Pass.
Angela is hooked up to an elephant to sort her memories on an episode of this HBO series.
Watchmen.
Captain Watchmen at the buzzer. All right, Dan, let's get the Allison report.
Let's go through those passes. Reese Witherspoon smooches Robert Pattinson in Water for Elephants. I am shocked that you don't remember the Elephant in Vietnam Dennis Leary vehicle Operation Dumbo Drop. Lots of Heart Elephant, along with a lion for some reason, was a member of the Care Bear Cousins. You'd think a lion elephant could just beat the heck out of whatever the Care Bears were fighting, but no, apparently they still had to use their hearts on their chest. The Terry Pratchett created Fantasy World, this carrot on the back of four elephants, which in turn are on the back of a turtle, and after that it's just turtles all the way down, is Discworld. And R.E.M. sings about pushing an elephant up the stairs on the soundtrack for Man on the Moon. Now, we did accept the answer of makeup and prosthetic makeup in that because at the time the category was just called best makeup and it does include prostheses, so we are accepting the answer. It did include the correct answer in the statement, so we are accepting that. Allison needed to get 6 correct answers in order to move to first place. Unfortunately, she had just 4. She finishes up with 130 points and the half point. And Andrew's up next. He'll need to get 5 correct answers if he wants to move into first.
All right, Andrew, your remaining category choices are The God Family and I Feel Fine or Just a Touch.
Don't Feel Fine, so and I Feel Fine is what we're going to have to choose.
Any thoughts about what this category might be surrounding?
Pop culture reflections on the end of the world.
You are not too far off in terms of that it does connect to the R.E.M. song. Speaking of R.E.M., it's the end of the world as we know it, and I Feel Fine, in that every answer in this round can be found in the lyrics to that song from their 1987 album, Document.
Well, this is not my karaoke go-to, so good luck to me.
90 seconds on the clock. Andrew, are you ready?
Sure.
Charlton Heston toplines this 1974 San Francisco set disaster movie.
The Omega Man.
Earthquake. Philip Seymour Hoffman plays this rock critic in Almost Famous.
Cameron Crowe.
Lester Bangs. In Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, Indy meets Hitler at one of these events.
Book burning.
Luke Kirby plays this boundary-pushing comedian on The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
It's the guy who swore all the time pass.
This 1981 Blondie song was the first rap video ever broadcast on MTV.
Pass.
He wrote the music for West Side Story.
Bernstein. Leonard Bernstein.
This NBA team is based in Cleveland.
Cavaliers.
This Bob Dylan song chronicles boxer Reuben Carter.
Hurricane.
This Beatles song contains the first commercially released recording of guitar feedback.
Pass.
This Keanu Reeves vehicle was the directorial debut of Jan de Bont.
Pass.
Ice Age 4 bears this subtitle.
Continental Divide.
Continental Drift. Before Marnie, Tippi Hedren starred in this Hitchcock movie.
The Birds.
This Styx song opens with the line, "Oh mama, I'm in fear for my life."
Renegade.
Renegade right there at the buzzer. All right, Dan, let's hear the Andrew report.
Oh, that was rough.
All right, the boundary-pushing comedian who, as Andrew said, swears a lot, therefore would not be welcome on our show, is Lenny Bruce. The 1981 Blondie song that was the first rap video ever broadcast on MTV was Rapture, back in the era when you had to announce when you're doing a rap by putting the name rap in your rap song. The Beatles song that contains the first commercially released recording of guitar feedback is I Feel Fine, and the directorial debut of Jan de Bont, of course, is Speed. Andrew got 6 correct answers. That brings him to 170 points, and he is now in the lead. Conrado will need to get 3 correct answers if he wants to take the win.
Cut his mic, cut his mic, cut his mic.
All right, Conrado, your final 2 choices for lightning round topics are The God Family and Just a Touch.
Now I'm feeling all of the pressure. I think I'm going to go with The God Family.
Any guesses as to what this category is about?
Maybe something Godfather related?
You're absolutely on the right track because The Godfather was directed by Francis Ford Coppola. This round is all about the careers of the members of the whole Coppola family.
Oh boy. It's a lot of them.
90 seconds on the clock. Conrado, are you ready?
Ready as I'll ever be.
She became the third ever female Best Director Oscar nominee.
Sofia Coppola.
Francis Ford Coppola won his only Best Director Oscar for this movie.
The Godfather Part 2.
Jason Schwartz made his feature film debut in this Wes Anderson movie.
Rushmore.
Eleanor Neal directed this 1991 documentary about the making of Apocalypse Now.
Heart of Darkness? Hearts of Darkness, damn.
Hearts of Darkness. Roman Coppola directs this lead actor in A Glimpse Inside the Mind of Charles Swan III.
Charlie Sheen.
Jason Schwartzman is Evil X number 7 in this movie.
Scott Pilgrim vs. the World?
Gia Coppola's film Palo Alto adapts a collection of short stories by this Spider-Man actor.
James Franco?
Robert Schwartzman put M&Ms on a pizza for Anne Hathaway in this movie.
Pass.
Francis Ford founded American Zoetrope with this fellow filmmaker.
George Lucas?
This former Coppola by marriage is also a co-creator of MTV's Jackass.
What's his name? Spike Jonze.
Nicolas Cage named his son Kal-El the birth name of this comic book hero.
Superman.
As Coconut Records, Jason Schwartzman performed the theme to this HBO series he also starred in.
Oh boy, what was that called? Bored to Death.
In 2013, this governor appointed Christopher Coppola to serve on the California Arts Council. After the buzzer, the answer there, Jerry Brown. Great round for Conrado. Dan, let's get the Conrado Report.
Only one pass to follow up on there. Robert Schwartzman put M&Ms on a pizza for Anne Hathaway in The Princess Diaries. So it is now time for our final scores. We end up with Allison at 130 points and the half point. Andrew has 170, and Conrado, who had a fantastic lightning round getting 10 questions correct, is now at 245 points. So our winner is Conrado.
Conrado.
Woo!
Conrado.
Woo!
Nice job. Congrats to Conrado on your victory, but sadly that means it is time to say goodbye to Andrew and Allison. Guys, fantastic way to kick off our season. Thank you so much again for being here. But Andrew, in the meantime, if our listeners want to hear or see more of you, where can they find you online and elsewhere?
Well, I actually am much better at writing and asking trivia questions than I am at answering them. I have my own little trivia company called Andrew's Bar Exam. You can find us at Facebook and Twitter and Instagram at Andrew's Bar Exam. We do online shows exclusively for the last 200 and whatever days.
Trivia heads, take note. Thank you, Andrew. And Allison, where can our listeners see more of you?
Yeah, you can check out my Twitter feed at Allison with one L, M-R, where I post lots of photos of my dog and delicious food that I make and my garden. So, woo!
Fantastic. Thank you, Allison. But again, those big congratulations are going to go to Conrado. Conrado, you're going to be moving on to the Cellular Division Finals. In the meantime, anything you're going to be watching to fill in some blind spots as the competition heats up?
I'm not really sure, but I will tell you that this does take a little bit away the sting of not knowing this Sting won Best Picture in 1973.
A-plus wordplay. Where can our listeners hear more of you in the meantime?
They can hear me. I have a podcast that I think should be out by the time this comes out. It's called Foreign Invader, and it's about pop culture from not the United States of America. So we talk about stuff like British pop star Charlie XCX and The Lord of the Rings and Carmen Miranda and people like that. And it's fun.
Wonderful. So even though you're international, you've still conquered the great American pop culture quiz show. He's all over the place. And listeners, be sure to also follow Conrado as the crocodile emoji as he continues on through our season 3 bracket. Well, that'll wrap it up for this week. Be sure to join us next week as we kick off this season's appellate division with the first elimination match over there. I've been your host, Taylor Cole, and on behalf of Scoremaster Dan and Production Master Dave, thank you for listening to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show. Remember that riddle, everybody? You think you know the answer? Submit the answer at the link in your show notes or on the page for this episode on our website, usaquizshow.com. While you're there, check out all our past episodes, season brackets, and don't forget to subscribe to our Patreon for special exclusive content.
You can always find us online on Twitter and Instagram. We're at USA Quiz Show on both.
The Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show is made with so much love, guys. You just can't stand it. With our host, Taylor Cole, Dan Cassino, our quizmaster and scoremaster, and yours truly, producer David T. Cole.
Hit that subscribe button and we'll see you next week.
Oh, I have a grandmother in heaven that's very angry with me.